Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Otessa Goddard from the DC Web Fest.
As well as...
I am Amy Young. I am also with the DC Web Fest.
And
I am Diana Eaton, and I am also part of the DC Web Fest.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in here. We have the three-headed brain trust, we said, behind
us.
Yes,
the magical Cerberus of the DC Web Fest.
We try.
Now, just remind me, clarify, what is your actual titles with the festival, all three of you?
So I am the founder and director, and I will pass this baton on to someone else.
Sure.
Oh, sorry, Otessa here.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yes, Amy again. Hey,
hey.
I'm the...
Long time.
Oh my gosh, it's yes.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah. I'm the project manager. I'm sort of a pinch hitter for whatever, media, marketing, any kind of managerial stuff that needs to be done, I do it.
Awesome. And you, Diana.
Yes. So I am a blogger. I'm also an event coordinator, and I am a photographer at the DC Web Fest. Very fun.
Sounds great. Now, let's start with you, Otessa, since you founded this whole thing. We're in year six now, I believe. Take me back to the very beginning and how you decided to found it. I know you went to, MFA in Columbia?
That's correct. Yes. Okay. Guilty. So let's see. I got into internet content creation way early. It actually started as my thesis, and my thesis board really didn't want me to do a web series.
What are you thinking?
They're like, this is crazy, you're bananas, why would you create something and put it online? And at that
there's
point...
There's no future there.
Yeah, exactly, yes, definitely. And I was like, well, hang on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let me put together a business plan and show you why, because, we talk a lot in film school, or at least did then, I'm sure still do, about butts and seats and people not going to the movies. And I was like, let me show you that there's actually growth in content consumption and where it is, right? So came back and I presented this. And then everyone I showed, they were like, oh, well, the numbers still hold. We still think you're crazy. But these numbers crunch out, right? So I was allowed to do my web series as my thesis, but they were like, just be quiet about it, because this could be very embarrassing for all parties involved.
That's so weird that now, how much has changed?
Right?
That's so crazy.
I know. And then lo and behold, hey, the internet is a thing, guys.
Indeed.
Streaming is actually a thing.
Yeah, cord cutting happened.
It did.
Yeah, and of course, don't even get me started about the state of the internet economy right now. But anyways, so...
Maybe later in the interview.
Yeah, but one of the things that was really interesting / incredibly frustrating is that for people who are creating this amazing content, and part of what I loved about it is that you didn't need to be in New York or LA.
Right.
You could literally be anywhere and create content. And so as a woman, no one's running around saying, certainly not back then, no one was running around saying, I want to hire a female director.
Right.
Or especially I want to hire a multi-ethnic female director. Mm-hmm. This just wasn't. And instead the things that you would kind of hear was why are there all these women here in this MFA program? Don't they know they're all going to end up being script girls? And your heart would just kind of drop. Right, hearing your professor say things like this.
God. And you just have to sit there and internalize that for 3 years?
The process of internalizing it was I'm going to the web. It is the Wild West of this industry. This is where I can find a place for myself. This is where other people who, might not have an opportunity can go. That's why my textbook is actually called The Wild West of Film. And
that's right.
Also my thesis presentation.
She literally wrote the book on it.
But part of my frustration I found was that all of the well-respected film festivals either needed a domestic premiere or an international premiere, meaning that if your work had been online, it was ineligible. So if you had digital content or a web series, you either had to withhold it from your audience and not present your web series on the web to be eligible for film festivals, right, that weren't really built for digital content anyways.
Right.
Or you were just completely out of the loop altogether.
Yeah.
And there was a festival that started in LA that was specific to digital content. And
just having, LA Web Fest? Or?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And having been, I had lived in New York for 7 years and then had come back to DC, which is my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remind us what neighborhood?
Adams Morgan, right by the 7-Eleven.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We know it well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. But anyway, so I was like, how cool would it be if DC beat New York? And if the second time that this happened, it was in DC. How awesome would that be for the creative economy here?
Yeah.
Just proving that you can really, that you don't need to be in LA and New York.
Right.
So that was why I started it. And it was just a wing and a prayer. And I was like, I hope people show up. I hope this isn't a failure. And knock on wood, people showed up. And every year it's continued to grow. It's continued to grow exponentially now. So much so that there are now 53 festivals worldwide, and there are 15 of us that are in a special federation, and we agree to hold ourselves to certain standards.
What's the federation?
So in the federation, we have Berlin and Vancouver and Wendy Webfest, Hamburg.
What's the federation called?
Oh, it's the Web Series Federation.
Okay.
Yes. So got a nice little Star Trek kind of ring to it, right? Federation holding itself to the prime directives.
Yeah. Just don't let it get like that Black Mirror episode.
No. All good intentions. Anyways, but now, so as of last year, our federation, sort of like a sports bracket, our top 10 winners collectively that have won across all 15, they receive automatic acceptance into Cannes in Cannes Series Digital. So we're actually literally sending content to Cannes directly. Wow. So
another Star Trek reference.
Yes, Cannes. Yes, yes.
Sorry,
except
the
French one.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Anywho, so that's kind of amazing to have started from this place where everyone was like, "No, this is stupid. You're crazy." Mm-hmm. And then now we're actually sending things to a festival that most people have heard of.
Yeah,
it's pretty famous. It's a good one.
Well, I think in hindsight, you're looking way the opposite of stupid and crazy. Like they look stupid and crazy for doubting it. You know, like
you
were ahead of the curve. Yeah, you know, you saw the potential before it actually happened. So, props for being a trailblazer on that regard.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, how about we got to get you guys in here because I know me and Tessa could just go on all day. But when did you guys jump on board?
Great question. So I jumped on board actually right after I saw Tessa give a talk with the National. Oh man, what was that?
National Museum for Women in the Arts.
Oh yeah, but what was the initiative called? It was all about women in film, and was talking about, you know, how there aren't enough women in film, and you know, for so long we've been like trying to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And Otessa gave this talk, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'd love to work with this person. And I ended up joining the team in August or September. You know, and really, ironically, right at the beginning of this Me Too movement that's been a long time coming. And before that, I have a performing arts background, and, you know, I was also interested in...
From where? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes,
can, you know, go on ad nauseum about that place, so hit me up. And I went to college at Kenyon College, was an art history and drama major, and, you know, figured after graduation that web fests and web series give a lot of flexibility for creators that are cash strapped, want to create something, get their name out there. And especially when streaming is so hot right now, you know, it's a great opportunity. Wanted to learn more about the industry, wanted to hook up with a great team, succeeded in that endeavor. And now we're scheduling an incredible festival.
Great. So great.
How about you, Diane?
So
you hear about these crazy kids?
It was actually like a big blessing because I recently graduated from American with my MFA in film.
Nice. Same.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Alum. So I was a research assistant there / teacher assistant. And my director had put me with Otessa because she was teaching a directing course there. And she had put me with her just temporarily until she found a permanent placement. And we worked together for 2 weeks and we worked together really, really well. And my director took me away and she found a permanent placement. But Otessa reached out to me and she said, you know, we really enjoyed working together and we worked together so great. So I just want to offer you to come on with the DC Web Fest. And I was like, yeah.
Sure. So, don't turn that down.
I joined this. I've learned so much and this has been such a great opportunity. And I love it. It's awesome.
It's so great.
Well, that's why I'm really glad that I was able to have the three of us here. Because I have the opportunity to work with... We do have men in our office.
Yes, we do.
We are,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're
diverse.
Yeah,
no, we have some wonderful men who were not able to join us. But these women are amazing. And having the opportunity to work with these women, especially at this point in time when Hollywood is having this like reckoning.
Long overdue.
Yeah, it's just working with people who constantly inspire you and... When your brain isn't working, their brain is.
Right.
And just like bring all kinds of different experiences and ideas. I think that that is also a major reason why in the past year the festival has had like growth that makes my heart swell with joy.
Oh, it barely fits in the studio right now. Yeah. Just especially, you should see the way that they're all just like, oh, I love you. I love you too.
That's really cool.
Let's see. So, Atessa, tell me, since you've been there since the beginning, tell me how much it's sort of grown in terms of submissions from year one to now, what you're expecting about for year six.
So, submissions have grown exponentially, which is great. But also, we get representation. And I'm so excited to say this. Well, actually, no. First, I should say that we have grown in terms of our categories as well. So, it started out as web series specific.
Okay.
We now have digital shorts, trailers, and music videos. In addition to VR, AR, we've been doing that for several years now, gaming and apps. And we included this year online writing, which is either screenwriting or blogging.
Nice.
And podcasting.
Wow.
So if it is digital storytelling. If you do digital storytelling, then you belong here with us, and we want to know about the work that you're doing.
That's indeed. Awesome.
Yeah. Really cool.
So hear that, guys? Podcasts and everything.
Yes.
Send it on over.
Blogs, podcasts. Bloggers. If you're making it and it's online, then it would probably fit somewhere, we care about it. But
now, what is it in terms of you said digital shorts. How does if someone, let's say local filmmakers, submit to film festivals and it's actually shown, you know, on a big screen, does that disqualify it from submitting to you, or how do you define
if it's online?
Okay,
then it belongs. And generally, what we get in that category is actually a pilot for a web series, and they want to get picked up and they want to go to market.
Gotcha.
So, and I think that's another really important thing to build is a market for these creators, or you know, so that's something that's very important to me is having them be able to monetize, because that has become harder and harder.
Yeah,
it's which is funny as we've seen this the internet boom. It has ceased to be the Wild West where we had our safe haven, and now it's kind of, you know, we're seeing a shift. So making sure that we're continuing to support indie content as well as the amazing content that we get. You know, we'll get submissions from that feature Oscar-winning actors, but we also receive amazing submissions from teenagers in Missouri.
Right.
You know, and they're all good, and they're all welcome.
It's so great you guys, you know, welcome the range of that. You know?
Yeah, as we should, you know. I think it's important to not just be like, okay, you're great now, but also identify, you're one to watch.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see what this person does.
I love that. There was, I don't know, when you said that, it just clicked a random, you know, thing in my weird brain. There was something in that, the Hearts of Darkness documentary about making Apocalypse Now, and Coppola was sitting there, and he kind of, do you know what I'm talking about? He kind of predicted exactly what you're doing, although he was, you know, insanely, like, stressed
Everyone
out from that insane
yes,
shoot. But
crazy,
he said something about,
Apocalypse
like, you
now?
Know, one day there's going to be someone in Cleveland, I think he says, or since, I don't know, I think it was Ohio, who's going to have their phone and one day shoot this little thing, and they'll be the next big thing. But I think,
yes.
I think,
fortune tellers,
he's a genius,
love them.
But, you guys tapped into that.
I should say, though, that we have representation from every single continent, including Antarctica this year.
Really?
Yes. That was like...
Please do tell, please.
So, yeah, well, that was like, because we, a lot of the festivals were having trouble getting content from Africa and the Middle East. And fortunately, we do receive content from them, but being a completist slash super type A, it's like we don't have
perfectionist
Antarctica. Like we need Antarctica, and there are all these amazing people doing things in Antarctica about climate change and, you know, the work that they're doing. So anyway, so that was on my list. I was like, we need to get this.
So when you say from every continent, it's actually every continent.
Yes,
other
literally,
people say it and they leave out Antarctica, but no.
Don't forget about Antarctica.
Every
it's real. I mean, it's melting, but it's still around.
It's real
now.
For
it's
now.
Real.
Yeah, for now. Pretty soon you won't have to worry about this. No longer accepting submissions. No, save it. Maybe by you accepting the submissions, you'll save it. Oh, that's so great. So, yeah, I mean, I guess let's give our listeners an idea of if they come out to this. You know, how does it actually work? Is it at Navy Memorial, or where is it?
So this year, I'm actually super excited for this year. We are going to start out at the Digital Forum, and then we are going to do our programming is 2 days. Friday and Saturday, so April 6th and 7th, and each day is broken up into two pieces.
Okay.
So you can either get a day pass or you can get, you know, piecemeal.
Right.
And we will be at the Digital Forum, so we'll have all of the abilities to do the VR and AR stuff, so you can actually have all of those experiences and witness the blogs and the podcasting, and we'll be doing a live as well experience. And then we do screenings, and our Friday night opening night kickoff party is going to be at the Australian Embassy. We've partnered with them. Yeah.
That's gonna be cool.
And then on Saturday, we're back at the Forum, and I don't want to spoil. It looks like we're going to have a really, really awesome closing night Indeed. Location that
but we can't
I cannot
yet.
Disclose can't, as of yet.
Yeah, maybe as we get a little closer
but
to April.
It's like it's good. It's good.
Okay.
Like, yeah. So
I a little teaser.
I'm super excited. And usually, as an like, if you, I never expected to be in this event business, right?
Right, right.
I'm a filmmaker.
Like event planning. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, why am I here?
Planning.
But
you're learning
it's
new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, didn't expect to be here, but. This is the first year, this is the first year that I'm like truly 100% excited to be at every single thing. Cause I'm like, this All right. is, we are gonna be doing this at a level that people are, it's gonna be fun, it's gonna be educational, people are gonna have an awesome time.
Yeah.
So
the locations are great. So,
let's say they get, they buy a ticket to one of these blocks that you're talking about. There's two each day. Describe, one of you two take this one, just sort of the smattering of genres and forms that they are going to see when they sit down.
So it's actually a pretty wide range. Like last year, we had stuff from Australia, from all over the place, from France. And last year it was documentaries, we had fiction pieces, we had trailers. So it's a pretty good range of content.
Nice.
Also VR. AR, stuff like that's very fun.
And people love the VR. And
yeah,
AR.
What kind of VR has there been in past years?
So last year, in particular, we did a spotlight on Navteca and because VR, there are so many of the companies here are pretty amazing. And so Navteca and Notion Theory, Capital Interactive, and they're all doing, you know, big stuff for like NASA, the mm-hmm. NOAA.
Oh, I'm sure it's a hotbed here for
so, that and burgeoning. Google was there too. So all Google was doing like the cardboard and expeditions, and everyone was doing a presentation. But we also had submissions as well, and then we had gaming. So you can go and actually like put on the headset and experience these official selections and also demos mm-hmm. and play the games. And last year, our games I think our winners were Superhot, Mini Metro, and Inside, all of which went on to do very, very well. And you can get on your Xbox or your PlayStation.
Nice.
Yeah. PS VR even.
And some on the Switch.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, so that's always really exciting.
Yeah.
That's great. What are they, let's get you in here. So I'm trying to volley it back and forth.
I know, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
what are they competing for? What sort of prizes or awards or, you know, or even just exposure that can come out of it?
Oh, no, sure. So, I mean, there are multiple value adds that someone could get from attending this festival, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're an official selection, you're also networking with international creators at the top of their field, and you're also talking to policy wonks in the city, and obviously this is the time to start having those conversations. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've partnered with Final Draft in trying to, you know, lessen...
This is screenwriting software, ladies and gentlemen.
Software.
I gotta remember it's some
like,
people listening.
It's the... screenwriting software. So it's like Pretty Light.
Yeah. Or look up Celtex for free.
Don't tell them. Shh. Let them know our secrets.
No, Final Draft.
Yeah, Final Draft is great. And we've had obviously like several other partners, not only local partners, but also, you know, international. Like, take the reins, everybody.
So people can sponsor awards. And that's one thing that's really important to me in terms of moving forward, is making sure that this is continuing to be a market so that people mm-hmm. can get picked up, but then also that they are not just getting networking opportunities and resources, but that they have the ability to then both, whether it's through information or through financial gain, be able to go out and create the next thing. Because that's really, it's like, okay, great, you did this. We
right.
want you to do this more.
Right.
Let's make it easier for you to do this more. And I think that's important now more than ever. And let's see, there was something else. Oh, about the programming. So in terms of the screening blocks, mm-hmm. I would imagine you'll have like a drama block or a comedy block.
Right.
So you can kind of target your interest as needed. But I think that it really is important to make sure that we are, you know, not just sending people to con, but also mm-hmm. making sure that people here yeah. have the resources to do the next thing.
Yeah. How many of the filmmakers actually show up? You said it's great for networking. So in addition to our listeners who can come as audience members, but how many are there filmmaker Q&As afterwards? Or, you know, how much of that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, since our submission period is closing. We are entering the process of, you know, officially picking our selections. And we work really hard to make sure that the artists who do want to come here and talk about their work and meet the people on the ground that, you know, they never knew were even watching their stuff, right, making sure that those conversations can happen. So,
have you heard any success stories, Diana, about, you know, maybe people that met at the WebFest and then went on to collaborate on future web series?
I'm sure there have been instances like that. I'm not personally, I haven't heard of it, but I'm sure things that happened. But what I do know is we have shows that went on the TV, like Wizard of Oz, which is a really great show from Australia that's went on to TV.
Nice.
So a lot of content that we receive, you know, we love to see it also.
Where did it go into TV? Do we remember?
In Australia, but I think they may have just made an international deal, but not for all countries. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, that's progress right there. That's a success story.
Yeah, a lot of them make the jump, which is great. And then, no, people do meet. That's actually a lovely thing. People travel. Mm-hmm. They come here. So you can meet the filmmakers. You see them in a Q&A and then talk to them afterwards, mix and mingle. But then, no, when you see that people are actually meeting each other in terms of, like, locally or in the DMV, and then finding that, yes, there is support here, mm-hmm, and maybe even a greater depth and breadth of support than they realized, that then they have, you know, those people that they can work with in the future and then do. So that's awesome, locally as well as like the Antarctica International.
We're going to keep plugging Antarctica.
How many times can we say Antarctica in this?
Antarctic Embassy next year. We'd be remiss if I don't ask you. Orange Juice and Bishop's Garden. We got to tell our listeners about that. Is it, does it remain the longest continually running web series?
It is still? 7 years, yeah.
And explain, that was
the
thesis
person
you
who does
right?
it for longer.
Here's a warning. No, but I do want to cut, especially because it was like your thesis, you know.
Sure,
but,
sure. And then, so it was my thesis, okay, and ended up going on for 7 years. Each season is, and what I've learned, and this is actually I would recommend to other kind of content creators in this field, web series specific, is that each season was a feature, and it could also be broken down into traditional television length episodes.
Got you.
So that it was friendly for our more traditional programming, but it was also a web series.
Explain what it was, because you shot it all around here, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, give me, like, the premise.
Let me just give you the log line. So it was a show about coming of age, coming out, and just, you know, trying to find your way as a teenager in the 90s in D.C., right at the cusp of the internet era. So we stopped the show right when the internet came into existence. And a lot of it was, I liked the idea of what I was seeing being the potential of this brave new future.
Right.
But then I also had this kind of like wonder years, my so-called life nostalgia.
Right, right.
For what we were going to lose. And I wanted to do a piece in a very contemporary way about the time that I was watching change.
That's fascinating.
And also, I have a brother and sister who are 13. And if it weren't for them, I wouldn't not have known that content consumption was actually on the rise while I was being taught in my MFA classes that, you know, no one was watching movies.
You're hearing opposite things in both ends.
So thanks to
you'd come home
them.
For Thanksgiving and be like, wait, that's the opposite of what they're saying.
Yeah, like they're watching so much stuff.
I'm learning more at home than
totally, right? So I was also thinking about like the age gap and how I was like, wow, I'm pre-internet and they're post-internet, but there are a lot of issues that, and I'm like a young adult junkie, right? I love all that, and the coming of age stories always really hit me. So really, I was interested about what issues that affected youth then would be the same and what would be different.
Right.
So that it was a show, I really wanted to make something that was like The Wonder Years so that you could watch it either looking back through the lens of nostalgia.
Right.
And through hopefully a certain like element of more wisdom, but then also something that was of interest to contemporary youth who were like, wow, you used to have to like call people at home and talk to their parents and then like agree to meet places. Yeah. And if you missed someone, you had to rely on a payphone and maybe someone had a pager, like, you know, like those sorts of things. But like a lot of the issues were still the same, whether it was, you know, inappropriate teachers and the fact that, you know, at that time we didn't know that we had like resources and like what do you do when you have an inappropriate teacher, and a lot of times like we didn't know that we had resources, or something like coming out and feeling depressed and suicidal and like wanting to make sure that was addressed, because gay rights are obviously human rights, and I owe my entire career to the support and outpouring from the LGBTQ community that came from that show.
And even also, that we've seen a drastic change in the time since you've even started the show, I'm sure.
Totally. But also an interesting thing about that show. So again, after 7 years, when we really started delving more into issues regarding race and sexuality, that was when, and, you know, this is also early days too. So YouTube wasn't the only game in town. And actually my primary platform was Coldcast, which went under. So everything that I went viral on, all those links went dead,
womp, womp.
Yeah. But, you know, was also on YouTube, so didn't lose it. But the funny thing, funny in the depressing, horrible way, is how much negativity there was. So I would get death threats
really?
From the KKK.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, cause, I mean, that's talking about thing, the web is where people just hide anonymously and say the worst
Yeah, just people saying terrible things. Just not
we disabled our comments on our TOP website before that exact reason.
Yeah,
it's like,
I can understand
why. I don't have time
to
go through all this. It's just trash.
Yeah, no, just like horrible gay bashing and KKK people saying that they were going to kill me. And I, who thought at the time that I was a fully adult woman, was actually called my mother reduced to tears.
Oh, man.
Right? Because of comments on these things. And bless my mother. Shout out to my mom, who's way cooler than I am. But she said, you know what? If you are getting this reaction from these people, that means that you're doing something right.
That's true.
So keep doing it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And if it, so again,
if you didn't get anything, then it would, you were not even wading into, you know, worthwhile territory. So.
And then simultaneously, you would get like personal messages from people who were like, you know, I'm gay and I'm in Iraq and I don't feel like I'm allowed to exist and I don't feel like I have a community. And through your show, I've been able to feel like it's okay to be me and find online a safe space of other people like find my tribe, you know?
So great.
So like that's the other thing is that the web is a tool or a weapon and it depends on how you use it. So if you use it right, like you will get so much positive reinforcement and that's why I'm still here, you know, because
still going.
I see so much of that and I see the potential for that and I want to foster that.
Where can we watch it now? Because you said Chromecast. What was the one you said that went under?
Oh, Coldcast.
Coldcast.
Yeah, it was started
under.
By the guy who developed Quicken. Quicken's still around, but his platform is not, sadly.
Right.
Yeah, that was
But where can you see the show now?
Oh, Amazon, Roku, YouTube. Yeah. But mostly Amazon and Roku.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And it's in what season now? Seven?
Seven seasons, but it's done. And now I'm, and it's funny though, because I was saying afterwards, and I keep up with everyone associated with the project, which is great, that whatever decade we experienced while we were filming, we didn't.
Right.
Like, I don't know what happened during those, during that decade.
You Rip Van Winkled that because, woke up and you're like, wait a minute.
Like, essentially, Doc Brown showed up in his DeLorean and we just relived the 90s. And, like, we were dressing, like, year-round. Like,
why is everything so heavy? And is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Yes, exactly. Yes, it was like that. And it's funny because I was like, I'm not going to try time travel again. Lo and behold, what's the show that I'm currently working on next? Time traveling...
Yes.
Do a different period of time in D.C., another
give us
young
a teaser.
Adult show.
Sorry, we got to get you. I'll let you guys wrap it up, but give us a teaser of the next thing you're working on.
Okay,
if you want to.
This is coming out in a bit, right?
Okay.
So
this is going to air like closer to like probably late March, to, you know, right close to when you guys are about to do the festival.
Okay, so we still need to get some of the trademarking and everything ready,
okay,
so that should be done by then.
Cut this out.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, so I have a co-conspirator, so... co-writer, co-producer, co-director, Joe Carabeo. And it is about the DC punk and hardcore scene in the late 70s, early 80s.
Nice.
And also about the Riot Girl movement in DC and the self-publishing and kind of the self-publishing movement of zines and how that was really an outlet for women.
Cool.
And what I love about that time period in DC is that like everyone who received mass acclaim, right? Like Minor Threat, Fugazi, Bad Brains. They all stayed here. They didn't like make it and then go to LA. They're all still here.
Yeah.
You know? So hey, if anyone we're trying to get awesome cameos.
Yeah.
We know you're still here.
You're still here, Bad Brains. Come on the show.
Yeah.
But your love for this city, because it's your hometown.
Yeah.
Is palpable. And I'm with you. I love this place. So
that's great.
I love that you guys are bringing people here.
Yeah, really
to see it.
But that was a massive tangent. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Is that so? Just to put a pin in that, that's a web series. That's a pilot you're shooting. Where are we in that one?
We are going to be shooting the pilot pretty much ASAP.
Okay.
And then we will see whether it lives whether it lives a multiplicity of lives on, you know, various various platforms.
They'll say, we heard it on WTOP first, and then we went, awesome. All right, guys, one of you, let's have you guys wrap it up for me, since you've been patiently listening to all of us go into Orange Juice and Bishop's Garden. But I had to get that in there.
Of course.
If our listeners hear this, why should they come out? Simple question.
It is going to be one of the most densely populated areas of thought leaders, new content, things you haven't seen before, new forms of digital narrative. And who wouldn't want to be part of that? So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be great. We've got exciting things down the pipeline. Follow us on all of our social channels to see who our upcoming partners and events are going to be. Just going to be dope, guys.
Kenya, you want to plug the social channels or the website or anything, how we can find more?
Sure. So it's www.dcwebfest.org. And for all the social media handles, it's just DC Webfest. And I would say one awesome thing that people should keep in mind is that the DC Webfest is in DC, which is the nation's capital. So it's loaded with politics, it's loaded with culture, with art, with history. So DC in itself has a whole lot to offer. And the Webfest is just one of the main things I love about it the most is just the diversity. Again, we have content from every continent. So to me,
literally,
to watch content that's from France, it really just kind of like expands your perspective. And it just breaks you out of what you're normally accustomed to seeing on, you know, American TV.
Right.
So I would just say folks come out and just get a fresh experience, you know, chat with folks who, you know, can give you an insight into a different culture. And it just changes your aspect on things. It's really awesome.
Absolutely. Attessa, do you have anything in closing?
Yeah, sorry. Spirit of the Stairs. Okay, so just a couple of things. So number one, it's going to be fun. Like, it's going to be really fun. So come because it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But also come because... even if you're not an official selection, you might be a content creator and have intellectual property and all these opportunities that you're not even aware of your own value. Mm-hmm. So come and realize your value. I think that's a major problem and that needs to be addressed just across the board is people not understanding their value. So come and realize your value, make a deal, find collaborators, get some money, all of the above. And another thing that I should give a shout out for is that we're doing something with Creative Control, which is an initiative where you will actually be able to sign up with like the top level lawyers, like lawyers that I could never afford, who are like the specialists in
like entertainment lawyers. Or,
in IP and entertainment. So you can meet up with them for free, pro bono, sign up, meet up with them, bring them your stuff. And as long as you have the checklist, you can actually walk away with a copyright and figure out how to do a trademark. But you can literally, a lot of that, as long as you bring the appropriate things and make your appointment, which is pro bono.
Which would cost you out the wazoo if you did it anywhere else.
Yeah, it would cost you thousands and thousands. I mean, just, right? And that the barrier to entry right there is unacceptable. So the fact that these lawyers are giving their time.
So great you didn't put that
Tigner
together,
has made this initiative. And they're going to be there offering these services. So you can get amazing legal advice and walk away with a copyright, which like enables you to go out and realize your dream. And then meet the people... you know, who can make that dream happen. And also another thing that I do want to say is, so yes, we're super local. I love DC. I also love that this is super international. And one of the things that is another kind of like barrier to entry in terms of, and also when I give a presentation now, one of the slides that I start with is I start with your typical Mercator projection and then it crossfades into what the internet actually looks like in terms of node points of how data is shared.
Right.
And I'm like, this is what the world looks like. The maps that you're looking at are wrong.
Are old,
right? This is what the map actually looks like. And so when it comes to things like being able to afford to have subtitles in various languages, that's something that an independent content creator can't necessarily do.
Right.
And that shuts them out, right? Mm-hmm. But we now have instantaneous translating devices, multiple ones,
right,
with a really high level of quality. And I'm really excited that we have partnered with Google and their instantaneous translation devices so that people...
Is that like the Google Translator app, very similar?
It's now an earpiece.
It's even better.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's
like, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little do you guys know, we've done this whole thing in another language and it translated it by the time you're hearing it.
Yes, no, like you're hearing it real time in your ear and it's being translated through a machine learning algorithm at
a high
level, right?
That's what the world looks like now.
Yeah, so, I mean, and don't get me wrong, we're not going to be putting simultaneous translators out of a job because they're actually very instrumental in making this technology work.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that if you can't afford to, you know, if you're, if you can't afford to make your series that's in Farsi in English and this, that, the other, that's okay.
Right.
You don't, that's not a burden on you anymore. The technology exists and it's affordable. And if you are watching a French film, watching a Chinese film, like, it will translate right there in your ear. And this also works for podcasting and blogging. So
awesome.
I'm excited to see that really grow, because I think that that will, when I think about what the map really looks like, this is another way to make sure that that map is not, you know, that no one is getting excluded.
That's really awesome.
That is really awesome. I think it's a good place to leave it. Unless you guys got anything else.
I talk too much.
No, you don't. Should... keep it going. Guys, I mean, we've almost gone an hour here, so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I have plenty to work with. Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
This is my bread and butter. I could talk this all day. Are you kidding me? I'm just trying to think of our listeners.
Wait, so now I'm curious. What was it like meeting Greta?
Oh, she was awesome.
I feel like I'm on a first name basis with her because we went to the same.
Oh, yeah. So now you can. Yeah. No, she was great. I mean, we just broke down everything about that. And similar to like what you were kind of what you were saying with your web series about how you wanted to set it during that time when everything was changing. But so it was like nostalgic. But at the same time, you were kind of looking forward and through that lens. Yeah, I mean, just the idea of setting it like in post 9/11, 2002, and you know, the Iraq War is on the TV, but not playing it up too much, but it's just always there. Or you know, or the idea of like, you know, that her what is it? Saoirse Ronan's brother is competing for a job against his own dad, but sort of the reality that, you know, the Great Recession reality that a lot of us probably are.
That's grew when up I graduated.
And I feel like. I don't know, Lady. I was just complimenting her. I thought Lady Bird was like the first sort of coming of age movie about a millennial that didn't talk down to millennials.
Yeah.
It was like, this is what it's kind of like.
Yeah.
But just the religious elements of her going into Catholic school and then the recession of going against it for a job, or the sexual awakening, or meeting these guys. And she was saying that so many other coming of age movies, especially like 80s, 90s, it was, you know, there's either Mr. Right and you're rewarded for getting him or not. And she was like, no, like maybe you meet these two guys and you cross them both off your list and they're not, you know, and that's not what it's about at all. And it's just, that's just growing up. And so, yeah, I mean, she's thinking on other levels. And I was right there
amazing.
With her. I was digging it.
One of the things that I really, really loved about Lady Bird was the fact that, and this is what I like films that I love is when you have the sense that there is a world outside of the screen, you know, and that you get a hint of it. And with that one, there was such a world outside of the screen that you almost wanted to just like break the fourth wall yourself and just like explore all of that world, you know? And creating that is hard as a filmmaker.
Yeah, absolutely. And she joked that at the very end, they all joked on set that, you know, when it cuts to black after she calls her mom and she said they wanted to flash a title card that said, "Call your mom." she was like, "I think it's going to happen.
They're going to do it anyway."
Yeah, they're gonna, exactly.
I actually saw it with my mom.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh,
yeah, it was lovely.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm pulling for Best Director, and then we have Rachel Morrison, cinematographer for Mudbound.
Yeah.
I thought Dee Reese should be up for director anyway. Don't get me started on that. But at least she got adapted screenplay. But yeah, you know, I was really bummed at the Globes. So we're tangenting, but it's going off of what you guys were saying. There were no women directors nominated at the Globes. Greta got for the Oscars, but how's that possible in a year of you had Patty Jenkins, Dee Reese, Greta Gerwig, Kathryn Bigelow, Sofia Coppola? I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, let's tangent all day.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is anyone? This is a question because I can't actually see my dream team because I'm on the other side of the table. So this is like weird. I feel like this disembodied presence. But is anyone feeling like a strange backlash recently to the Me Too movement?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Ever since who published the Aziz Ansari story first?
Oh, I know. Was it The Atlantic? Maybe.
I think it was Babe magazine, and then. You know, now that we're entering more nuanced conversations, which are the harder conversations to have, then, we're going to have backlash now. And it's uncomfortable.
Meryl Streep actually predicted that backlash you're talking about. Yeah. She came here. She, Tom Hanks, and Spielberg mm-hmm. all came to the Washington Post and did a Q&A. And I'm
never
sitting
heard of
I'm
them.
Sitting there. Yeah, I don't know. I really think they got something. Like, I really think they're going places, these kids. Keep an eye
Such
on them.
Such talent. Wow.
But I was like sitting, and they had it at the Washington Post. So I'm like sitting in the front row, and yeah. Jeff Bezos is like right next to me. Like, what's
oh,
going on?
What's
but
going
I'm
on?
Sitting as far away from you guys, or to yeah. you guys as like these legends. Probably, Stop like, come it. On. That's like the most famous actor, actress, and director of our
and
time.
You're sitting next wow. to Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is like, going on? Yeah, what is going on?
Twilight
here?
Zone.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting there, and that was one of the things. Someone, I guess Anne Hornaday of the Post was moderating it, and she said the same thing of like, oh, isn't this a great tidal wave? And you know, and Meryl was like, yes, but actually I anticipate first there's gonna be a backlash, and then we'll recalibrate off of that, and then mm-hmm. somewhere out of that progress will come. But you know, it's always two steps forward and one back.
Yeah.
And, whenever there's a wave like that, it's natural for that to happen, yeah. but it makes me sad. But I mean, at the same time, I think a general good will come out of it. I think this overall tipping point will be good.
Yeah.
I think that nuanced conversation you're talking about is going to be, maybe we need to realize that there's like a range between the Weinsteins and the Azizes, and how do we, you know, calibrate that? But I think overall in the end, it'll work out. For the better, I hope. Yeah. But I'm an eternal optimist. We might be screwed.
Optimist
well, worked towards it, right?
I'm also an optimist, but as an optimist, I am glad that this movement is happening. And I'm glad that these conversations are being surfaced. But it's also really weird. Like right now, I realize that this is going to air in April. And I hope that we won't be there by April.
All right, let's see where we are
The
then,
optimist in me is like, we'll be there, but we won't. But I have had some of the most unpleasant and really saddening conversations with even like very close male friends mm-hmm. in the last month.
Right.
And that just kind of kills me. So actually another thing that I've been thinking about doing is a podcast where I'm like, let's actually,
you totally
I don't
should.
Want,
let's
I don't
talk about
want
this.
Vitriol, yeah. right? right? Like I want acknowledgement and apologies. And if in the process of doing this podcast, someone comes to me and they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe you did something to me and I want an apology. Then fine.
Right.
Like this is part of a larger right. movement, but that what
podcast
I see with
would be
the
great.
Vitriol,
this is an honest,
you know,
it's conversation
like, these are
we need
things
to
that
have
happened. This is, you know, not calling out people by name.
Sure,
but mm-hmm. these are situations that happen, and you know what is being called, I think, the gray zone. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, let's stop calling it the gray zone because power dynamics are real.
Right, and it shouldn't be a gray zone. It's like, you know, no, okay. You know, moving on.
Yeah, and and every single person, I think male or female, has like some story to tell. And if we could do it in a way that it was like safe and non-vitriolic, so we're actually starting that conversation. I would like to be part of making this backlash less of a backlash and more of like a, we are not standing across this divide pointing fingers. But like, let's build this.
We can't
bridge.
Let it get to that,
right?
Like every other partisan thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has to be a conversation that was just open. And I feel like some people are scared to talk about it because they don't know how it's going to be interpreted, too.
And that's part of what's been so frustrating in the last month with some of these conversations is it immediately devolves into, you know, something unnecessary. And we've already lost so much discourse. And I think in the in the U.S. and in D.C., we see this a lot. In the last election, like, where was the political discourse?
Sure.
You know, it was like finger pointing. And I was like, I refuse to lose ground on discourse in another area.
Yeah.
Like that we just can't afford to.
Yeah.
So
it was like, all right, I'm going to bring Bill Clinton's accusers and sit them in the front row. It was a total finger pointing thing the whole time.
No one wants to discover that they've been the bad guy.
Right.
And so we're losing just, you know,
We need some mirror looking.
Yeah. Or like, and ironically, we need to make it a safe space for potential bad guys and girls and, you know, people. To have those conversations and be, you know, just like, because how else are we going to move forward?
Yeah,
but the fact that we're even talking about this is why I'm optimistic, is that we, you know, it's now in the bloodstream. It's in the consciousness now, you know? So even if there is this rocking back and forth of backlash and anti-backlash and all, you know, I think ultimately we've reached, we've turned the ratchet and it's not going back, you know? So we can debate it out, but like, I really think we have, this tidal wave has made all different industries. I see it in my own life, you know, and coworkers and how people interact that people are a lot less willing to go to certain places. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We just need to have that open conversation. So start
and
your podcast.
Well, we'll be back talking about our podcast.
No vitriol. So it's possible.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
So wait, this is a podcast. It's actually going to happen.
Well,
the three of you guys,
wouldn't we love it?
That would be awesome.
We'll keep you posted.
Let's get the WebFest done first. Yes. Lots of work here. But then,
and then and all of our other side hustles.
Yeah. You got to have some side hustles.
Side hustles.
Well, thanks for joining me for a freaking hour. I
love
it.
Thank
you. Thanks for having us for a freaking hour.
Freaking hour, man.
That's being dope.